Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Barbecue Shop Talk.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Barbecue Shop Talk right here on BarbecueSuperstars.com. Our call-in number, 347-202-0263. Excuse me there, 347-202-0263. Give a shout-out to Daryl and Mass up with Barbecue Superstars. Thanks for letting us do the show. Also, Alex Hay IT Integrations was with us last week. Doing some work around here at my place. If you need anything from software, hardware issues, any website design, give Alex Hay at IT Integrations a call. We want to thank the South Carolina Pork Board and Young Farmers of America and Agribusiness from Hilton Head last weekend. Tim and I had an opportunity to go down and spend a weekend in Hilton Head with our families and do a little demo there, and it turned out really nice. We want to thank them for taking care of us and appreciate that opportunity there. Also, Threads Embroidery here in Columbia. They do everything embroidery-wise, and they also just added a screen printing press to their operation. So call Kyle or Sharon over at Threads Embroidery. And we'd like to move on to the main part of the show. The last few weeks, Tim has not had an opportunity to do his tips and all, and we're going to give him plenty of time tonight to catch up on all that. We have some classes, information, everything. I think I'm going to let Tim do the recap first, and I'll come back and mention all the classes and what's going on for this weekend. Tim?
Yeah, good evening, everybody. And Mark, it was a great time cooking with you down at Hilton Head with our friends with the Young Agribusiness. It was also a good time this week catering lunch for the Sacramento Specialty Food folks. It was nice to meet a lot of those folks and get put a face with a name. I know we had a number of them on the show, so it was always nice to catch up with them. Had a great meal out there. Love the kitchen we were in, too, as it could certainly spoil you. Well, folks, taking a look at the SCBA calendar like we do every week. Let's see, we're looking at the South Carolina Judges Seminar is coming up this weekend. Actually, Mark and I will both be down there, and it's going to be February 2nd, again, Saturday from 10 to 4 at St. John's Methodist Church in Newberry Street. And I believe the message board had a post earlier from Maury saying it's not too late if you want to get in on the judges' seminar. Let's see here, pull up his post. He says you can pre-register by contacting Lake High via the South Carolina Barbecue Association website and tell them to reserve you a spot, and you can actually pay at the door for both the seminar and the SCBA membership as long as you have contacted him and got a confirmation that they're holding a spot for you. First contest we've been talking about is going to be February 22nd through the 23rd, Band Brews and Barbecue. I understand it's going to be a great event. You're looking forward to that one. I'll be down there with JT's Barbecue, and that'll be in Port Royal, South Carolina. You're looking at March 15th. Got a contest, the Barbecue for Boy Scouts in Sumter. And then I'll actually be in the State Farmers Market, the 22nd, 23rd, competing out there again. If you haven't had an opportunity to compete out at the Farmers Market, it is a first-class venue for a barbecue contest. I'm really looking forward to that. So keep tabs on the events calendar and look at all the upcoming events and make sure you contact those event organizers and send them an email. Let them know you're going to be signing up so they can kind of start doing their prep. So Mark, we'll send it back up to you.
Hey, I want to go ahead and give a shout-out. Do you like curling, Tim? You remember seeing it in the Olympics?
Oh, yeah. That's where the big – I guess it's that big ball, I guess, goes out, and they kind of – is that where they kind of brush it in front of it on the ice?
Absolutely. They call them rocks, and they're a big 40-pound piece of granite.
Yeah.
I know this is not barbecue-related, but, hey, Upstate has a lot of great barbecue, and Taylor, South Carolina is having a Palmetto Curling Exhibition in Open House, and it's February 5th, next Tuesday, from 7:30 to 9:30. And they just texted me that, and I wanted to tell everybody out there listening, if you're interested and you're in the Upstate, I'd encourage you to go by. Daniel and I had the opportunity to go to Charlotte a couple of years ago and actually do the whole nine yards there. They prepped the ice, and we put on the slippery shoes and had the brushes and the rocks and everything else. I'm going to tell you what, you watch it on TV, it doesn't look like much, but when you're up there doing it, it is a ton of fun. And then what I didn't realize is that's a full hockey rink away. So when you do the rock, when you release the rock, you're pushing it the entire length of a hockey match, ice hockey match, and you can't see the arrows, the numbers where the rocks are, or anything else. That's the reason they point and everything. And it's just, it's amazing sport. Watching on TV, I said, I'm not so sure about this. But get a chance to go, you ought to check it out sometime, Tim. I think you'd love that.
Yeah, well, they can do it outside on the street in front of my house tonight because it's already temperature dropping down. My wife's got the fireplace going, so.
Uh-oh. Well, South Carolina Farmers Market, you were talking about that. We were over there earlier in the week on Tuesday. I'm not sure how many teams they're up to now. We're trying to check in with Jackie to give everybody a heads up on that. The facility there is just a premium. Michael Mixon came up last year. Tim was there, of course, and a lot of large names in the South Carolina Barbecue Arena. And I can tell you it's nice because there was another event going on, and a friend of mine was talking to a friend of his that was cooking that event. He got rained on three times that night. We got rained on three times, too, but no one got wet because everybody was under or cover. So if you're thinking about doing that event, you probably want to get your check and app into Jackie Moore. Just Google South Carolina Specialty Food. You can get her number direct, and she will send you an app. Or if you contact us through Barbecue Shop Talk, I have apps on my computer she sent me the other day. I'll be happy to send that out to you. Meeting with a gentleman tomorrow, and we're actually trying to revisit the Columbia Speedway. Things are kind of in place for it, maybe for a June outing there, second or third week in June. Hopefully it won't be too hot, but if we get everything worked out tomorrow, hope to have a great announcement for you next week. And that will be the Bands, Brews, and Butts contest. It's moving out of Lexington, and it will more than likely be at the Speedway in June. I think everything's kind of set, so that's one of those last-minute things. But other than that, I want to move on and let everybody know about Vista Marketplace down in 701 Whaley Street every Saturday morning from 10 to 2. They have an indoor farmer's market up there with all kind of South Carolina specialty foods, but a lot of local vendors like Bone-In Barbecue. You've seen him on Eat Street, also on Food Network. They're down there every weekend. You need to drop by and take a look at that. They also have one going on Main Street downtown by the Art Museum. You can check that out as well. And Shop Talk, we had a class last week. Tim's mentioned that. We want to thank them again. And then the National Barbecue Association, their annual convention, February 19th and 23rd. They still have some rooms available. We were notified today by email. And they have discount rates at the Renaissance Riverview Hotel. So if you're interested in going to the National Barbecue Festival, that would be the one to go to. Carolina Outdoor Cooking School has their barbecue class coming up February 16th from 8 to 4. $250 includes all the different categories. JT is going to be there doing brisket and ribs, I believe, and as well as Garland doing pork, and Jeff with Smoking Stacks is going to be there as well. I'll let Tim expand a little bit on that. Tell him a little bit more about the class, if you will, Tim.
Yeah, sure will. I've been in contact with Garland Hudgens down there. They say it's going to be a great class. It's filling up quite nicely, so. We definitely want to contact him and get some information. I'll be doing the brisket and ribs portion of it, and Jeff Smith will be doing the pork, and then Garland Hudgens Big GQ will be doing the chicken. So check out Carolina Outdoor Cooking, and you can get send an email over there. And I believe they're doing a draw as well, so check out the message board on the SCBA. I believe they're doing a drawing for a free slot to current SCBA members in good standing. Also let you know the March Rhodes Scholar class that I hold in the spring. I hold one in the fall. The March class has been sold out. I just got an email yesterday from someone asking about a slot in there. So just let everybody know the March week-long barbecue vacation is sold out. The next class will be in October. You can check out our website for upcoming dates, or you can go to RhodesScholar.org and look up South Carolina, and then they'll have all the classes there, and you'll see the Savory Southern Barbecue class listed, and you can get some information on the October date. And then here within the next week or two, Mark and I will be making our announcement for our April 7th rib class. This is going to be everything you ever wanted to know about ribs. So it's going to be a great one-day class, and it's going to be really cost-effective, and it's going to be great for the backyard or for the comp, for the pro, for the amateur, for the ladies, for anyone who wants to come and just learn about ribs, sample ribs all day. It'll be a great time. We'll be talking about that
as the week progresses. Probably next, I would say within the next week or two, we should have applications and a lot more information on that for folks. So you might want to pencil that in on your calendars right now.
And working on that, that will actually be available first of the week. And it, all these classes are unique in that they're going to be on Sundays, not Saturdays. So if you're competing out there, you actually can still come to the class. They're open to amateurs as well. And like you said, they will be cost-effective. April 7th will be ribs. 5th will be a ladies' grilling class. Already have two signed up, as told me they're coming. Already have it on their schedules. And Robin Ray from Slather Brand Foods and her daughter. And then we have a dance class, June 9th, July 14th. We have a beginner competition cook team class. So keep that in mind. Remember, it's Sunday from 12 to 5, and it's going to be greatly have a great price to it. You'll certainly want to come to it. And then we want to mention Jack's class. Last class mentioned here today is Jack Wayborg's got the Carolina Pitmasters class going on March 8th and 9th. Begins Friday afternoon through Saturday afternoon. They have judges and the whole nine yards out there, go through all the different categories, including the whole hog. I encourage you, if you're interested in that class, contact them at Carolina Pitmasters, Jack Wayborn. And I think that's all the classes, Tim. We got a mention on the social media. I think Jennifer's going to be on again next week. And they give you some more tips on social media, Twitter, et cetera. And the throwdown we're scheduling is April 4th at 302 Senate Street from 11 to 2, business lunch. Barbecue, we'll have cheesecake, banana pudding, JT's, Lang Smokers, Brad K., and myself. We'll all be out there cooking for a business lunch. I encourage you to come by for that. And
I'm glad you mentioned the social media, because I've got my Facebook page up, and I've also got the Barbecue Shop Talk Facebook page pulled up right now. So just let you know, I know we're broadcasting live. If you got any questions, please post them on Barbecue Shop Talk Facebook, and we'll do our best to make them part of the show. Also on Twitter right now, it's at JTHBBQ is my Twitter handle. So right now we're following Facebook and Twitter as we broadcast live.
We're going to talk a little bit. I had somebody call me the other day and ask me where would be a good place to get a grill. If they were kind of, they have a team, they've only cooked a couple times, and they're trying to upgrade from a big ugly drum. So give them an idea. This is for Trey out there if you're listening tonight.
Well, Trey, the first thing you got to do is you got to figure out what sanctioning body you're going to compete in. That's the biggest part. Because as you know, if you can do KCBS, you're not going to have any gas cookers. You can use a gas assist to start the fire, but of course the meat cannot be on the pit when you do that. And then you have to go to all wood or charcoal. So you need to decide whether you're going to be doing. Also, when dealing with a sanctioning body, we know KCBS is going to be brisket, ribs, pork, and chicken. So, you know, a smaller smoker like, you know, cabinet deal, backwoods, that type of thing, you'll be able to do you well. Now, if you're going to be competing in the SCBA, the majority of them are butts. You can use gas, but there are several whole hog events as well. So that may dictate a little larger cooker, one that you can actually do a hog on. And then if you're going to be doing any Memphis or MBN contests, you got to keep in mind that you need to show the meat on the pit during the on-site judging. Now, the on-site judging is 30% of your score. The blind box is 70 in an MBN sanctioned event. So you want to make sure that you have a pit that you, is going to provide kind of your showpiece where you'll be able to open it up and let the on-site judges see. So the first thing you got to do is decide what sanctioning body you're going on. The second thing you need to do is get on the forums, look at National Barbecue News, a few different forums, and kind of see what folks are saying, what they're talking about as far as different smokers. One thing you got to understand is that some events, electricity is going to be provided. Some events, you have to run your own cord, some in generators. So if you're looking at something like an FEC or a pellet cooker or, you know, a Traeger, something that has like that needs electricity to run an auger or electricity to run a rotisserie, those are things you need to keep in the back of your mind. I've been to some SCBA events where it was kind of hard to get some power sometimes, or you were actually running a long way off for power. So you definitely don't want to get stuck with no juice trying to run one of those pellet augers. Then you also need to decide on cost and mobility. You know, are you a one-man team? Are you part, you know, if you got two or three guys that are going to be, or ladies are going to be cooking with you, going in on it, because expense can definitely start to climb when you're looking at a trailer-mounted unit.
You know, now do you have an enclosed trailer? Or do you have an open trailer, or do you want something that's on wheels that you can tow behind you? So that's going to be some things that you need to look at as well. And also, you need to decide what kind of wood profiles when you're talking about cooking these meats and all. You know, are you going to be trying to use chips, chunks, split wood? If you're cooking all over charcoal, so these are things that you need to look at as well. I know there's a lot of folks out there now who are using the gurus, who are using a lot of the forced draft and stuff. I'm not. That's not me. That's just not my cup of tea. You know, I like to use the wood cookers in competition because I like to be able to control my fire. Brad Kay and I talked about that before, and he's of the same opinion. We like this Lang smokers. However, when I'm cooking a hog, I cannot get away from Alvaron. Alvaron just turns out a great hog, and it turns out a great chicken. So if, like Lake City this year, I'll be having Alvaron out there cooking a hog. Jamestown out of Hellhole Swamp, I'll have an Alvaron out there cooking a hog as well. So a lot of factors that go into it, but if you have any questions, you can always email us at barbecueshoptalk.com, and we can also talk offline or off the air, or you can post any other questions you have on the Shop Talk Facebook page, as others may have the exact same question. So hope that helps.
Yeah, one other thing, I'm not sure if I missed it, but catering. I mean, if they do some catering or something on the side, if you want to plug that into it, you know, Alvaron is the way to go as far as I'm concerned. I've had three of them, and just this week when we catered up here for the Department of Ag, I know you used yours, and I was looking at Alva saying, you know what, I'd do a little here, a little there, make it look bigger, and thinking about getting John to make me one too, because I just for some reason want one I could pull around as well. So
yeah, it makes it so much easier. And that one, the one I just had built for me, is what John calls his tailgate unit. And I mean, it's nice and slender. It's not a wide body trailer. It's more, you know, it's more linear, so you can pull it into a parking lot. You can back it through in like a double gate in somebody's backyard. And then what I love about it is it puts a great smoke on the food. It does great. You know, it puts a great color on there, but then you could back that thing down and just use it as a warmer as well. So it's really versatile. And then, like when we did beans this weekend as well, we had the beans going and the chicken going at the same time. So I love those Alvaron cookers. And the same thing could be said for the Lang as well, the wood-burning Langs, because I have one. I have an 84 with a char grill and a deluxe warmer. And that warmer box, I tell you, it's the cat's meow when it comes to keeping food warm. I could put beans, corn, jerky, whatever I want to in that warmer. And it, you know, it'll hold a great temperature. So looking forward to using that on the competition circuit again this year. Did really good for me.
Good deal. I know I love mine and catering. I can throw 20 butts on it at a time and put a ton of chicken on or whatever. So it's been great. We've got opportunity to do some different events. And I was telling you just the other day, one out in Gaston for the Gaston Fun Day, a faith-based initiative out there. I actually cooked 2,100 hot dogs, and I could put 350 on at a pop, so and have them done in a little of no time. So bad as I hate hot dogs, that was a whole lot to cook, but have fun you can't go wrong with. I have the backwoods. I'm very familiar with the Langs as well, and nothing can go wrong really with any. You just got to ask yourself all those questions. Maybe start your sheet on the left-hand side, all the things you need, and, you know, you'll get there. Maybe you just need to buy one of each if you got the deep pockets to do that, huh?
Yeah, I would, you know, and one thing I would do is I'd go out to a competition, you know, and I'd walk around. I'd look and see what folks are using, and probably more on a Friday night because everyone's kind of refreshed and they're not, you know, too deep into the competition yet, or Friday afternoon, and kind of talk with different teams. You know, you don't even want to go there Saturday morning when they're trying to do their turn-ins and all. But definitely Friday, go around and talk to some folks. Hey, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. I want to come out. You know, what kind of cooker are you using? Why are you using this? You know, so I think that would be, you know, an awesome way to probably get a lot of good information, you know, because you can go to a contest, 25, 30 teams, and, you know, you may have a good 20, you know, different type cookers out there. So it would be pretty cool to go out and talk to those folks. And I know if someone came up to me, I'd be more than happy to sit down and you know, chew the fat on why I use what cooker and when I use it. So, but talking about the hot dogs for what event were you doing?
We're doing the Gaston Fun Day. Pastor Larry Harrison puts one on in Columbia here in Gaston, actually, in Orangeburg each year. And I think he's going into doing that for childhood evangelism throughout the state, which is really neat because they put anywhere from 5,000 to 13,000 people there in 6 hours. And It's a great opportunity to reach a lot of folks for the churches in the area.
Well, that's a great transition into what I wanted to talk about next. I've been working on a lesson plan, updating lesson plans for the class I teach at the Culinary Institute. And part of the history of barbecue lesson plan, I did a little bit of research in the Bible. It's no secret. Both of us hold high religious values, and we love the Lord. But I found that God loves barbecue probably just as much as we do. And it's pretty interesting because I was doing some research on the history of barbecue and, you know, how old barbecue is and you know, the first time it was in printed word and all. And I came across a website and talked about God and barbecue, and I had to read it. And I found that there's several verses in the Bible that talks specifically about barbecue. And one of them is Exodus chapter 29, verse 18, and it's actually describing how to build an altar in the Old Testament. They would, of course, make their sacrifices, and they would use, you know, the best animal, the best sheep, the best ram. And the Bible actually gives you, dictates exactly how to build these structures, and they're basically barbecue pits. And it's about how to actually place the animal on the pit, what type of animal to use, who gets to eat this animal, how to actually break the animal down. And it talks about once the animal's on the pit, this is a quote. It says, chapter 29, verse 18 describes the pleasing aroma of the burnt ram upon the altering of wood fire. And to me, that pleasing aroma is that roasting ram over the hard wood fire. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 13, it describes a special fire used to roast several different types of animals and birds, and I quote, a burnt food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. So I can just kind of see, you know, folks in the Old Testament standing around. They're doing, you know, it's important to them. They're doing their sacrifice. They're doing their prayers. And then they got this wonderful smell of roasting, you know, roasting meat on the open fire. And so I thought that was pretty cool. So I included that in my lesson plan, just to kind of show the impact of barbecue and how far it actually goes back.
That's pretty neat. You can get over into the New Testament as well, and Paul talking about different animals and so forth and sacrifice and eating the charred parts. I'm guessing that's the bark and everything. So,
yeah, it's probably burnt ends.
Yeah, burnt ends. You can go all the way back. A lot of good stuff in the Bible for those out there who have never read it through. You can find a lot of things from just sayings like crying over spilled milk and the handwriting on the wall in Daniel. And it's just a lot of sayings that folks use nowadays that they don't realize where it originated from.
And it's so funny because we are like on target with the transitions during the show, because that was the next thing I wanted to talk to you about too, because I was doing the exact same thing. I was like, how many different types of barbecue references do we use every day and that we don't even know it? And one of them was letting the cat out the bag. And it's actually comes from don't buy a pig in a poke. And I've heard people say that before. I've heard that saying, but really never thought about it. But a poke is basically a bag. And it talks about a pig that's in a poke might turn out not to be a pig at all. If a merchant tried to cheat by substituting a lower value animal, the trick could be uncovered by letting the cat out of the bag. You know, to buy a little suckling pig or a small animal, and you know, it's already dressed out, it's already skinned, it's basically just, you know, the primal cut. And, you know, an unscrupulous merchant might put the cat in there. So it's saying, don't buy a pig in a poke. Don't buy a pig in a bag. Make sure you buy it outright so you know you're getting a pig and don't walk away with that. One thing I thought was pretty cool is we all heard the name of our country. Do you know the nickname of our country, Uncle Sam?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Uncle Sam, won't you? That's actually barbecue-related, too. I did a little research. I came up with this. Uncle Sam's actually a nickname dating back to the War of 1812. It was used to refer to the U.S. government. The term is said to come from Uncle Sam Wilson, who provided barrels of salt pork to the U.S. Army during the War of 1812. Now, these barrels were stamped U.S. to indicate that they were for the United States government, but they came to be associated with Wilson's nickname, which was Uncle Sam. This happened to be the same initials, and eventually Uncle Sam became the nickname for the U.S. government, and that was Uncle Sam Wilson who packed the salt pork and the smoked pork in the butts, the barrels, which are also known as butts, hence the word Boston butts. Another interesting one I found was Wall Street. You know, we all have heard of Wall Street, especially here lately in the news. But actually the term Wall Street came from, in some areas around in New York, hogs would be turned out to find their own food. Now, of course, this is, you know, quite a few years ago. But hogs would roam freely, eating what they could find from acorns on the ground or roots, which they dug up from the ground with their snouts. Now, on Manhattan Island in New York, the hogs rampaged through grain fields until farmers were forced to build a wall around the city to keep them out. And the street running along this wall became Wall Street. So it was actually they built that wall to keep the hogs were just flourishing to the extent they were just tearing up everyone's field. They had to actually build a wall to keep them out of the city. So that was pretty interesting.
You know, my oldest son, you know, Daniel, is just a big history buff. And when you get on talking about U.S. history, especially from Civil War times and Revolutionary times and all, he would be right there with you. He could quote one thing and another. You could just call him up anytime you want to know something. It's amazing. And it's interesting. I really was never a history buff until his lectures just about every day on the way home from school would pick him up. He would tell us something about history. And I found myself enjoying it more and more because of it. And it's always nice when you make some tie-ins back to something that that you like or something else that you're fond of. So.
It is pretty cool because I do a whole section on woods, and it's an entire day as part of the course, and we talk about each different type of hardwood that's traditional to barbecue. And what I did to just try to put as much information out there, and I just thought it was interesting, I just couldn't stop the research, was breaking down each one, like hickory, for instance. And the origin of the word hickory is actually an Algonquin Indian word. And it's actually the name of the tree. And it's pretty cool. So, you know, that you can look around. There's 18 different species of hickory. And it talks about the different ones that are used for barbecue smoking, like the pig nut and the shag bark. And then we talked about peach wood and oak wood. And I learned a lot about cherry trees and all. And I mean, cherry trees can grow up to 30 feet. And this is pretty interesting stuff once you start getting out and researching it, especially like the peach tree. I was thinking peaches, you know, synonymous with Georgia. Everybody knows, you know, from watching Barbecue Pit Masters, it's one of the favorite smoking woods, the Meyer Mixon. They like to use that green peach wood down there. But I found that peaches were actually from China and that the trees were actually brought over to North America. And actually California, South Carolina, and then Georgia are actually, we're actually second in the nation. And producing peaches, only behind California. And I was like, I thought Georgia was a peach state, but actually Johnston, South Carolina, puts out so many peaches. So South Carolina beats Georgia out again, just like in football. So we beat them in peach production as well.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until a few years ago. Someone told me the same thing. In fact, I think it was Daniel. Let me know about the peach thing. We were going to the peach festival. I was like, really? Why do they call Georgia the Peach State if we're number one then, or number two ahead of them anyway? So.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, question on you were talking about cherry wood and all. Did you do any research on wild cherry?
No, I haven't, but I actually just got a load in of some wild cherry, and I believe it was wild black cherry. It's got a pretty unique look to it, so looking forward to doing something with it with ribs. But, yeah, I just got a wild cherry tree delivered the other day.
You know, I know the, my cousin used to tell me a story back in the 60s when he was growing up out in the country. He would actually take the wild cherries, the little berries that come on them. If you kind of mash those things up, it was, I don't know if it ferments on the tree as it's going, but they would actually get drunk off of eating the wild cherries as kids.
Oh, wow.
They'd climb trees, set up there, and get toasted. So.
Now, we used to pick muscadines when we were young. We didn't mess with the cherries, but where I grew up, there's a lot of muscadine trees. I know they make that muscadine wine. So, but we would pick those, and there's a few different folks we'd take them to. And later in my teenage years, I found out that's where the bootlegger was and all. But they loved the big bags of muscadine wine that we'd bring them. That and chestnuts. But chestnuts come in those thorny little shell. And I remember picking chestnuts all the time, too, and I always have my fingers pricked for those. So pretty interesting stuff once you start to, you know, just start to research it and kind of, you know, get into, you know, why we say what we do when it comes to barbecue. Why to, instead of just saying hickory wood, well, what exactly is hickory wood? How many different species? Where does it grow? Where does the word come from? How long have we been using it? And that's kind of what I did when I developed these lesson plans, because I just think it's really interesting, you know, instead of just, you know, just throwing a hickory log on the fire, kind of understanding why, when, where, how, and all that good stuff. I just think it adds, you know, to the overall experience.
Absolutely. I tell you what I tried the other week was some great chips on some burgers. That turned out really, really good. It was the first time I'd used any grape. I think I'm going to use some grape Gatorade powder on something as well, along with the grape chips, and see how it turns out. Kind of experiment a little bit.
Yeah, I got my hand on some pear wood chunks, so I'm going to be doing some stuff with pear wood. This Monday, we're doing all of Texas barbecue in a class coming up on Monday. So I'm not going to use it there. I think I'm going to stick with the I've tried to get my hands on some post oak, but I wasn't able to do it. So definitely going to smoke some brisket over some oak wood, though. But I'm going to save the pear wood for maybe some, some chicken or maybe some pork. Or maybe some pork loin. I might try it on a pork loin.
I'll give you one last thing before it looks like we're just about out of time. My neighbor, just so you'll know, has been cutting down oak trees at his place, and he is stacking them up. He has split probably 2-3 truckloads out there, and they're $25 a load. You load them up yourself.
It can't be that, because the price of wood these days, I tell you.
Absolutely. I was thinking about going down there and just putting some up for myself. In fact, he's got a bunch of gum that would be nice for the fire pit that you can just have. Just take it away. So.
And again, and there's one thing I like to tell everybody too is if you're using a designer, I call them designer or premium woods to smoke wood, like your pecans, your hickories, you know, your higher priced woods, and I use those on the front end when I'm smoking, and then once the product goes to foil, then that's a great time to kind of save those premium logs and go and switch to an oak, because oak is really prevalent. You know, I don't pay as much for oak as I do for hickory and pecan, but yeah, the food's wrapped. You're not getting more smoke to it. You're just, you know, keeping the fire going and keeping the heat going. So it's a great time to split the oak. So you might want to keep you a stack out in the yard.
Yeah, absolutely. I figured that was a pretty good deal for oak. I'm not sure how much it's going for a load now, but I figured it was more than $25 split for sure. So.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we're past our time, and it's always a blast. And, Tim, I will see you this weekend, and it's time to go out on some bluegrass.
Sounds good. Good night, everybody.